Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. What an absolutely beautiful day we're having all across the country, huh? My partner in crime, Daniel, is not around today, actually. Actually, I should say he's not on the call. He's in New York. He's up there in business at a speaking event, which I'm incredibly excited to hear about it when he gets back. But my conversation today is about the art of masterful delegation, creating world-class teams and leaders. Before we get started, I want to read to you kind of the description that we posted online for today's show. But it says, the art of delegation. So as we explore the true art of delegation, how it is far more than handing off leadership responsibilities and tasks to others. What does it mean when we say that the wisdom resides with those closest to the customer? And how should that shape how leaders in business and life use these priceless insights to develop our teams as well as ourselves? In a world that is realizing turnover in the leadership ranks almost daily, does it even make sense to invest the time in growing your replacement, and if so, how do we do that in this nonstop world? I would love to hear from you today. To call in and join the conversation, the number is 347-677-1965. Again, 347-677-1965. So by all means, give me a call and join the dialogue today. But this entire conversation about masterful delegation, I think, is almost – it's shifted. It's transitioning in today's environment to a certain degree. I want to get into that versus where it was probably, say, 10 years ago. And you could say, well, what's the millennials' role in this, or Generation Z, or, you know, kind of the new age of leading and managing in today's environment? How does that impact delegation? Well, quite frankly, it doesn't. And I think there's a lot of leaders out there that are using that as a scapegoat. And it's not good. Actually, the sad thing about it is not only is it affecting the leader, him or herself, in terms of what they can accomplish or what they could accomplish, but it's also shortchanging those employees that we've been blessed to lead. So what do I mean by that? Well, I think about the one thing that I've said frequently on this show is I have been blessed my entire career to be surrounded with some of the most amazing human beings on the planet. And some of that's been done intentionally by myself. Some of it I've been fortunate enough to have handed to me. And in other spaces, I'd like to believe that I invested enough time in those individuals to help groom, grow, and develop them. Now, I don't claim to be the end-all, be-all when it comes to leaders, but what I will tell you is I was a very firm believer in delegating. But there's several variations of delegation. I guess I'd like to walk through those first before we actually get into, you know, maybe some of the most effective manners. I just got a chat here. Again, the number for those who want to call in, 347-677-1965. So the various ways of delegating. So we've all been, at some point in our life, we have all either reported to or been in an environment where we have been led. So whether you've been an employee in a company and had a supervisor, manager, executive, whatever, whether you've been a student and you've had teachers, or whether you've just been part of society, participated in PTO, you had someone leading those, it doesn't matter. We've all been led in some way, shape, or form. What's interesting, however, is when the work needs to get done, there's variations in the way it happens. Now, you have those leaders who delegate just for the sake of the fact that they just don't want to get their hands dirty, they don't want to do the busy work, and therefore they pass the work on to others to get done, and the reality is probably not the best logic behind it. Now, if it's effectively explained, if you're really clear on what the outcome is, if you've selected the right person actually that can do the work in the most efficient, effective manner, or as part of the development or growth plan, all right, ultimately the employee, the individual being led can go out and get that work done. If on the other hand, you just happen to be the closest person to me when this task comes up and I hand it off to you, that benefits absolutely no one. And there's an awful lot of that in today's environment where we're handing off tasks and responsibilities and or we're hiring and retaining employees that as we grow as an organization, they've outgrown, not their usefulness, but they've outgrown their ability or their capabilities to support, and let's just use the example of the company and the size it's become. So the task in which it takes or the abilities in which it takes not only to lead, but to be employed in, let's just say, $5, $10 million company may not necessarily be the same skills and abilities that are needed in a 20, 30, 50, multi-million and ultimately billion-dollar companies. And I think quite often we lose sight of that. And in many cases, we're going to get back to delegation here, because I'm going to pull this all back together. But what ends up happening is we see the bitterness. We see bitterness when not effectively communicated. What ends up happening is these leaders, good leaders, go out and they start looking for individuals that have worked in environments of these multi-million, billion-dollar organizations. But if and when that's not handled properly, ultimately the downside of that is those employees that grew up in the company or those employees that grew up in that organization or that group feel slighted. And that's not fair to anyone. So how does delegation all play into this? Well, we spoke about the person who delegates just for the sake of pushing it off his or her plate. There's also other leaders that they do it in the spirit of trying to make themselves look better. So, for example, someone comes to me and they say, I've been trying to get this accomplished for an awful long time. I can't get it done. I'm looking for a conduit or someone that can help me get this done. Now, I personally may have the aptitude or the ability to get it done, but in the spirit of showing this individual that I'm capable of waving a magic wand and just getting it done, I call one person, two person, three people, whoever it is that I know that can make it happen, make a phone call, they take it, they run with it, and in the meantime, in the eyes of the person that sit there and engaging with me, I look like an absolute rock star hero. What we don't see on the other side of that story is what's happening to that employee on the receiving end, because it's real easy to hand things off and just assume that, you know, we call our go-to guy, our go-to gal, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Always Reliable. You know, there's a saying that those who achieve the most will be rewarded with more work. And we've all seen it, whether we've been in that position, we've seen employees that were right hand, left hand on players, that they tend to be the ones, not even in times of crunch necessarily, because that's not necessarily a bad thing when you go to that person you know you can rely on with little follow up. But in times of crunch, what ends up happening is we end up passing things on in the spirit of improving our own personal brand. So there's multiple different ways of what delegation is, what it can look like. But ultimately, we consider and go through multiple other examples, but ultimately the art of masterful delegation is when it's mutually beneficial to the leader, to the employee, and ultimately to the organization. And again, I want to qualify this. When I say organization, I do not necessarily mean a business. It can be a church group, a community group. It could be something schools, universities are doing. I want to make sure that I keep it in context, because in every corner of our society, there is leadership. There's people engaged and try to achieve a common goal. And anytime you have that, you are going to have delegation. You're going to have people that automatically raise their hand, but you're always going to have to. There's always going to be a time when you need to lean on them. Now, what qualifies something as being, let's just say, masterful? Well, in my mind, I don't claim to be the expert here, but what I will share with you based on my experience, it's what feels the best. So, as a leader, if I'm effectively delegating, my end game is this. It's not about getting things off of my plate because I choose not to do them, or be, or because I'm not interested in taking on those tasks. It's because, one, when I'm not taking on those tasks or those responsibilities, I can redirect my efforts and my focus on bigger things. Let's just say broader vision, dialogue, strategic conversations, one-on-one engagement with my team, my employees, anything that makes the organization or the team more effective ultimately is in my best interest. Now, on the receiving end of that, if you and I are sitting down or I'm going to my boss and he or she calls me in and says, I have a task for you, ultimately the requirement there or the filter should be is how does it benefit me? Now, it's one thing, we go back to when you're in a crunch and you need that right-hand person to do something because, you know, you only got so many hours, you've got deadlines, budgets, whatever the case may be, to bring them in. That's always okay as long as two things happen. One, the individual you're bringing into the room, you know, your right-hand player, understands why you're giving them a task. Another one, firefighting, hair on fire task. That means that's where you're having the conversation around timelines. That's why you're having the conversation around capability and competency. That's in the same vein that you're sharing in a very genuine way the recognition of, because you know you can count on them because they have the capability, the competency, and they've shown over and over a track record of success in this space. It's very important that you do this with the individual on the other side of the table. Because a lot of times what we don't see as leaders and that we don't keep in mind is before this individual was called into your presence, again, I'm trying to be very cautious about saying office and keep this out of a business setting as well. Before this individual is asked to come to your presence and take on this task, I can assure you, because you hired them, they had a full-time job and they were in the middle of doing something else. These folks are not sitting outside your door waiting for you, waiting to be at your beck and call to come in and then go fight this other fire that will take them. And especially if it's a crisis, it's not something that they're typically going to knock out in 5, 10, 15 minutes. It's going to require them to put aside whatever they were in the middle of to go and address. Hence the reason that when you call that individual in there, Mr. or Mrs. Reliable, that you are very clear and conscious as to why they're in there. And the fact that you appreciate it, you recognize them for their abilities, and then you ask them. Again, the art of delegation isn't all about giving direction. The dialogue has got to be two-way. And you need to ask them for their perspective on it before they ever leave the office. Are they comfortable taking on the task? How much time do they need to take this task on? If there's a timeline, you align around things like that. Some of the most basic elements of what we would call leadership 101 that, you know, we could sit here right now and just roll our eyes and say, are you kidding me? I can assure you I'm not kidding you. Because unfortunately, 70%, and I'm making that number up, but I can assure you it's at least 70% of dialogue when we're actually delegating responsibilities or on the accepting end of it, is happening on a more of a seat-of-the-pants type dialogue, type of conversation versus the one-on-one heartfelt, let's have a formal conversation as opposed to a one-way conversation. So we talk a little bit about that master, the individual you bring in that you can always go to in the firefight. But what does that look like when a task comes across your desk, that right-hand person, let's just say there doesn't exist or they're not there or they're not the right person to give this task to, what's the decision-making process there? You know, the first question is it a task, again, that you should be taking on yourself? And if not, why, right? And kind of a general rule of thumb there is, what's at risk? Is this the type of task that you would take and that you could actually safely redirect with your guidance still, with your oversight? Is this a task that you could redirect and know in confidence that in a safe environment, the individual that you're directing it to, their personal reputation and brand will not be put at risk? And again, I think that's very important that we understand that. The fact that you're delegating a responsibility, a task that was given to you or falls within your circle of influence, is still your responsibility, and ultimately you are accountable for that. We have to be reasonable and fair to those we've been blessed to lead, and make sure that they've got the tools and resources, the aptitude, the time, the competency, the capability to get the task done. Delegating responsibilities or tasks to anyone that could potentially in any way, shape, or form tarnish their reputation or their brand within the organization or their department is not cool. It's not cool ever. Now, that doesn't mean that if I'm just cutting my teeth and I'm looking to take on more responsibilities and I happen to want to get involved in a particular end of the business, I've shown an interest, that doesn't mean because I'm not 100% capable or competent that I shouldn't get the task. I mean, the reality is this. If our people were fluent and masters in everything within their role of responsibility, they wouldn't be in the positions they were. They'd be in your position as a leader, as a mentor, whatever, they'd be well above, right? They'd be running the company. So I think I think we need to qualify that there. But the other part of this, though, is it's very, very important that we have structure, that we have a culture, and that we have an environment. And this is where the art of masterful delegation truly comes into play. That we have an environment that every member of the group, the team, the club, whatever it is, has a common understanding and are aligned around how we can be most effective. We take the time, I don't care whether it's, you know, Wiley, whether it's strength-based, you know, whether it's SBO work. I mean, you can go right down the list of all the various ways to do it, but there's a lot of less formal ways to do it. To find out what is it that every member of the team, one, is passionate about, that's the key to it, two, is capable and competent, and then three, has a desire to learn about. And if you take those three things, when things start coming across our desk, that dialogue becomes much easier. So you can say, you know what, I remember Johnny expressed an interest in doing some volunteer work with the homeless downtown, and we just happen to have a community event coming up here that fits that just perfectly. Would you mind coming to my office? Let's have a conversation. How can that conversation in any way, shape, or form go upside down on us unless there's something that you're not very clear with Johnny about or Johnny is unaware of, has something else scheduled, et cetera? That always is a win-win. Now, what you have to be cautious of, and Daniel and I spoke about this on previous shows, is you cannot allow yourself to continue to go to those same few people on your team for absolutely everything. I am not referring to hierarchy. I'm not saying that if you're a VP, you don't use your senior directors, you know, or your directors, whatever the case may be. What I am saying is that every member on your team is a human being. Every human has aspirations. Every human has passions. Every human has things that they're really, really wicked good at, and they have things that they're really, really just wicked at, right? Not good. So what you have to do is make sure that everyone on the team, not just the leader, has a very clear understanding of what every other member on the team is passionate, capable, competent, et cetera, et cetera. When you have that level of alignment, delegation just doesn't happen vertically. It happens horizontally. And you may see an employee, I was blessed, I go back and I've said this before, I would have directors on my team that I would be reaching out to only to find that they're not in their own market, but they'd be in a market, in another market of a direct peer without my knowledge because there was something he or she was so good at that their peer needed support with. And rather than call and ask for my support, they reached out to a peer who jumped on a plane, a car, a bike, whatever, and they went and spent time with it. That's how it works. And in that space, the lines of delegation become really, really blurry. And you get more, it feels more like partnership, more like collaboration, more like creative thinking. What you do is you create an environment that when an employee is called in the boss's office, they know that it's either for an update, a new task, or potentially some great news. And no one gets offended because everyone's playing in the same space. And what's really cool is when that employee, that leader comes out of the office, whatever the setting is, the coffee shop, and reaches out to other members on the team to say, hey, this is something like you're really good at. Would you mind giving me a hand with it? It's when you have that type of engagement between your employees that we as leaders, society, business, whatever, that's when we win. Because what that allows us to do is work on our own development. It allows us to sit down. I don't care whether you want to say it's mindfulness work, it's yoga, it's meditation, it's listening to podcasts, you know, it's reading a book. I don't care. It's spending time with other leaders, talking about strategy, imparting your vision. What's the next evolution of where we're at and where we're going? When you have a team that functions so well together and is hitting on all eight cylinders so consistently and so predictably, your entire life changes. Your life at work changes. Your life at home changes. Your health, you feel better. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And, right, they talk about, you know, being happy at work. I mean, I could think of times where, and it's really ironic because what you happen is when it becomes masterful is what you, what ends up taking place is the team ends up actually running the department. They're coming to you, and it's crazy because pretty soon you've got your team delegating responsibilities to you. Yes, we were in this conversation, we were in this meeting or this group or subcommittee, we were having a dialogue about X, Y, Z. It seems that there's some roadblocks here. We need you, boss, 2-3 levels above me. We need you to go on our behalf and help move this roadblock. Now, if that's not the environment that you work in today, if that's not the environment you lead in today, if that's not the PTO, if that's not all the other groups that we're led or we're leading in, if that's not the group that you're leading today, you need to do some soul searching. And the first thing is you should feel safe because you're not the exception. Unfortunately, you're the rule. And these aren't the types of things that you learn in school. They're not the types of things you learn in college. And quite frankly, it comes with wisdom. It comes with time. It comes from working with amazing leaders and seeing how they do it. And it comes from working with leaders that aren't so amazing. I guess we'll say it for that, for lack of a better way to phrase it. And it's in every one of these engagements that we have as human beings that we learn. It doesn't have to be in business. You see it in your spiritual environments, you say in church groups. You see it in at your home, right? You see it in your mom and dad and how you were raised, your aunts and uncles. This is not exclusive to business. You know, so as I think about today's dialogue, we talk about how do you, it's not just the art of masterful delegation. It's creating world-class teams and leaders through the art of masterful delegation, which at that point begins to transform and mutate into collaboration, creative thinking, team-led type environments where a leader can be off doing those types of things that he or she needs to do to make the world, the company, whatever it is, a better place for those he or she's been surrounded to lead. And that's the space you got to be in. And I know what, whether it's reaching out, you know, to someone like myself or Daniel, whether it's finding an awesome book or whatever the case may be, I will tell you that is a space that we don't invest enough of our time. And we can get into the whole conversation of why I spend a lot of time with my people, performance management, one-on-ones. They like me. I love them. We have a really good environment, really good culture. But again, the language I use is when I'm alone by myself, when I'm alone in my head. And when you start doing that personal inventory of how you engage your teams and how happy they really are, and you find that, you know, maybe there are some gaps there, there's all sorts of great resources out there to use. So as you go down this road, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you either through the Living with Purpose Twitter site. I'd love to hear from you through my personal Twitter site, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it. I would love to hear from you. Next week, Daniel will be back joining me again. And we would love to, I know Daniel's mentioned this before, but we would ask that if you have any topics that you would like us to discuss, and we've got a litany, we've got a whole library of them that have come in from our listeners, please keep those coming. Please keep them coming. And if you've submitted some before and you haven't heard them on the show, resubmit them again. Tell us the second time, because this is what I can promise you. Daniel and I look at all of those ourselves personally and review them when we're putting together the episode, the show list. Over the next 6 weeks, give you a little treat, there's going to be times where Daniel and I are both gone. We're going to replace some episodes. There's going to be some more times when Daniel's gone. He's taking another trip to Peru. But I'm going to have some like really cool guests on the show, and I think it's going to be exciting. I'm not going to leak it out right now, but they are, to say, seasoned veterans and experts in the industry would be a gross understatement, and an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity for listeners to call in, ask questions, probe. And here's the other thing. The show can't be just about asking questions. You call in. Call in to share your perspective. Help the teachers teach, because I can promise you that I've never claimed to, nor has Daniel, claim to have all the answers. So we love to hear others' point of view. So with that, I wish you an absolutely wonderful week. All the blessings, the happiest of days, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye and God bless.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.